Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Emily Bazelon from Slate coming up later in the show. She wrote that great book on bullying, and she's going to relate it to the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin NFL incident and some other things going on. So Emily Bazelon a little later. Right now, New Jersey State Senate President Steve Sweeney is back with us. Yesterday, he launched a Sandy Bill of Rights tour in places hard hit by the storm, but that are still, even now, not getting the relief money that many homeowners and business owners have expected and sometimes have been promised. We may also ask Sweeney a question or two about the latest Bridgegate developments. We might. The last time he was on the show, he said it would be impeachable if Governor Christie actually knew about the political traffic jam. Now, a former Christie appointee says the governor did know, unproven, but we'll get to that. But Senator Sweeney, more important than politics is what's happening with people's homes. So welcome back to WNYC. And why a Sandy Bill of Rights tour?
Well, Brian, it's been a year and a half since the storm. And honestly, people aren't getting any answers. This whole process has been not handled properly. I guess that's the easiest, the simplest way to explain it. You know, people aren't getting answers. They're being denied when they're really eligible for funding. It's time we come up with the systems that, look, Brian, I'm a union iron worker. You know, just put it in layman's terms, why, how, where. You know, that's part of what we're looking at, having transparency, knowing where you're at on the list. You know, if you're denied, why you're being denied. There's just so much information that's not getting to the people. In fact, you know, we had, you know, Spanish language information that steered you to locations that weren't the right locations. You know, Brian, African Americans are, you know, way above being denied Caucasians. This thing is not run right.
What do you make of that? That's not somebody in some office in Trenton or in Washington saying, well, we're not going to give money to black people, right?
Well, no, I think it's just it's been so mismanaged and that we haven't where the state has really fallen down is they should have been working with local nonprofits. We should have broken this down county by county and tied the nonprofits. So when you called someone and you explained your situation, they would walk you through it instead of a national company that was hired that did a horrible job down south that was brought up into the state, HGI, that was fired privately, given $10 million to go away. Brian, if someone does a bad job for me, I fire them, and if they say, well, you got to pay me, I say, sue me. Defend why I should give you any money when you've done such a poor job.
But do you have a theory about the racial disparities here? I saw those stats, and is there some kind of unintentional bias that's creeping in on those judgments, or why do you think there's a legitimate reason that accounts for black and Latino homeowners, the one I saw in particular had to do with African Americans being denied at a greater rate? Do you understand it?
Brian, what I think is it's because it was managed so poorly that people are just so busy trying to go to work and trying to get their lives together, they don't have time to deal with this, you know, this governmental nonsense. When you log in or when you reach out to one of these government agencies and you file, you should be done, and you should be able to get this process done, and they do the job they're supposed to do. I honestly think it's the difficulty that in the process that's been put in place that people just gave up. And, you know, and with the Latino community, you know, there are language issues, and they are serious. And then when you have a program where you call in and they direct you someplace and you go there and the people you're going to help get help from aren't there, you know, it's very confusing, Brian. This could have been done so much easier. Yeah. You know, the administration has shied away and did not want to interact with nonprofits. Well, the nonprofits are the organizations that live in those communities and have access to people. They're not strangers. And they could get the people the help. They could put people in the pipeline. And you know, we didn't do that. You know, again, they brought a national company here that didn't do a good job in the Gulf Coast, and did a horrible job here.
And the governor recently terminated the contract with that company. So does that signify that he's on top of it and making necessary course corrections?
Well, I'm very happy that he terminated the company. I think the governor did the right thing by terminating the company. They should explain why they terminated the company, number one, because it's pretty obvious to everyone, Brian. You know, when I make a mistake, and I've made mistakes, I say, look, I thought they were good, they've done a poor job, and I fired them. You know, you don't just release them, you know, quietly and then pay them $10.5 million for poor performance. Look, you know, no one plans on hiring somebody and then doing a bad job. So I'm not being critical saying that the governor wanted this firm to do a poor job. But recognizing they did, the public has a right to know why you terminated them.
What you said before about nonprofits, are you suggesting that Governor Christie, as a conservative Republican, was somehow biased against not-for-profit organizations as opposed to for-profit organizations to play central roles in this?
I don't know why he avoided them, but Brian, the nonprofits. I'm not going to get into, you know, his philosophy on this. All I know is that you have nonprofits in communities, and you know who they are. They're people that, you know, they're in your community. You know the groups that are there. They do housing. You know, there are a bunch of groups that do housing in the state of New Jersey. You know, renters are really affected by this. You know, and that's, they're like the silent group that no one's really even talking about. So, you know, because people feel, because they're renters, they can just move somewhere else. Well, Brian, they have families too. You know, I rented when I first got married. I rented an apartment. Doesn't mean that I wasn't a good person, you know, and that my family wasn't important. And if my kids are going to school and I got to uproot my family and move them away because they can't get the help that they need. Brian, the communications in this process was poor. Separating from the local people was wrong. We should have coordinated a much stronger effort. And I've told people, I really honestly think we should have broken down county by county. And people in those counties, instead of trying to deal with some national firm on the phone or somewhere else, where they could have gone into a location, filled out an application, make sure everything was done properly, so when they're submitting their applications, they know that they're on the pipeline of getting, they're in the pipeline and they're going to get corrected here.
New Jersey, you know? State Senate President Steve Sweeney is our guest on WNYC. Would we be having this conversation were it not for Bridgegate? I know we've been talking about Sandy, but would you be doing a Sandy Bill of Rights tour if the governor was still untouchable politically and you didn't smell political blood in the water? Because you had a reputation for doing a lot of business cooperatively with the governor, more than some Democrats would have liked to have seen you do in the past, and now you're doing this kind of thing.
Brian, my job, and, you know, that characterization is a little unfair. My job is not to oppose everything the governor wants to do. When I think he's doing something right, my job is to work with him cooperatively and get it done because it's the right thing for the people of the state. When they're not doing the right things, and I got a history of fighting the governor on issues that I didn't agree with, and I think that's well documented. This is an issue that, yes, I would have done with or without Bridgegate for one reason. It's a crisis that's going on in this state. You have people that have been waiting a year and a half, and we knew this process wasn't going to be fixed overnight. But when you have billions of dollars, the federal government delivered the money, and I gave the governor credit for going down there and fighting for the money. But this is a failure. This whole process has been a failure. And, yes, I would protest this like I protested marriage equality, like I protested minimum wage, like I fought with him on the courts, and I could go on and on and on.
Does the funding you're talking about have anything to do with Mayor Dawn Zimmer's allegations in Hoboken about Sandy-related money being denied because she didn't approve the development project that the governor's office was pushing? Or is this a whole other category of funding?
This is a whole different category, Brian. This isn't about projects. This is about people. This is about homeowners trying to get back into their properties. And honestly, when you hear someone saying, I'm paying a mortgage and I have to pay rent, and I'm going bankrupt, and no one's giving me an answer. You know, Brian, this is America. You know, the funding has been provided. We have a responsibility to administer government and get these people's lives back in order. This has nothing to do with politics. It's about bringing a refocus. Look, Bridgegate is going to be out there, and whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. And honestly, if you talk to these people that I'm talking to that are dealing with Sandy, that their lives are pretty much suspended right now, I look at it if it was me, Steve Sweeney, and my house was, you know, destroyed, and I got to pay mortgage on it, and I got to pay rent on it, I'd want to be able to get my life in order as quickly as possible.
Let's talk about Bridgegate for a couple of minutes before you go. When you were on this show back a couple of months ago, you said Bridgegate would be an impeachable offense if the governor ordered it or knew about it. Here's our 30-second exchange on that to remind everybody. Under what circumstances could you see the bridge scandal resulting in impeachment or recall?
The only way, look, if there is a direct connection, the governor had knowledge or the governor was directing it, well, then obviously that would cause that. But, Brian, we have not got there yet, but we are going to do that investigation. That investigation is going to go forward, and wherever it leads, it's going to lead.
Even knowledge of it?
If he had direct knowledge of it, yes.
If he had direct knowledge of it, yes. That was you on, I believe it was January 15th. And since then, David Wildstein, who apparently implemented the traffic jam, claims that evidence exists, that the governor did have knowledge of it, though he hasn't presented that evidence. So here's my very specific question about that. Did you mean in that clip that it would be impeachable if the governor knew about the traffic jam at all while it was going on, which he still claims not to have? Or would it have to be that the governor knew that it was intentionally caused for political purposes? Do you understand the distinction?
Oh, I do, Brian. And honestly, what I think is if the governor was involved in the planning of that going down, yes, that's impeachable. I'm not going there for one reason. Mr. Wildstein has made claims. I'm not prejudging anything. And I'm not going to prejudge and say that the governor's done anything wrong at this point. We have an investigation, and that's why you have the investigation. Brian, if the governor was engaged and, you know, was part of the planning of this, well, yes, that is impeachable.
Well, that's the plan.
But I got to tell you right now, I am not going there, and no one should go there. If Mr. Wildstein has proof, he should bring it forward, and you have federal authorities engaged also.
If Wildstein's proof, if it exists, turns out to be, as one might guess that it might be, that the governor knew about the traffic jam, maybe didn't know about the political motivations of the traffic jam. We don't know if he knew or didn't know, but let's say he didn't know, but knew that the traffic jam was going on and didn't take aggressive steps to get to the bottom of it. What would you do then?
Brian, if he had heard about it and didn't during a campaign, number one, that's stupid. You know, when you're running for office and you hear about a crisis or traffic jam in the largest county in the state, and people are really angry, and you ignore it during a campaign. I've run campaigns. You don't ignore issues. That's why, you know, when and how the governor found out, whatever, you know, no candidate for office is going to ignore an issue if they know what's going on.
The New Jersey State Senate President Steve Sweeney, now on what he calls a Sandy Bill of Rights tour. You have more stops on that today?
No, tomorrow we're going to Toms River, and then on Saturday we're going to Meunaki. I say that wrong. I'm from South Jersey.
Good old Meunaki, yeah.
Meunaki. I'm learning, Brian. I'm learning.
Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Emily Bazelon next. Stay tuned.